forward. I was just thinking, what a great team that was. Oh, you got. Oh, you got something? Oh, all right.
You said kids come up. Oh.
I don't know how to deal with my father-in-law. If you didn't, this is our 20th anniversary. This has been, everybody knows that I have known Ron much longer than I have known Michelle. About 5 years before I met Michelle. And I still, after 25 years, don't know how to deal. All right. Hey, so what are you guys most, like, impatient for? Like, what can you not wait for it to happen? Yes.
Emily's red belt.
Oh, yes. Emily's red belt. That's going to be later on. Okay. Your birthday, okay. Anybody else? You don't want to wait for anything. You're fine. It's just great. I live in the moment. Okay. What is it, Abigail?
Christmas.
Anybody else? Yes.
Other
people's birthdays, especially if they get presents that you can use. No. Come on. That's what I liked. I used to love going to my friends' birthday parties because I knew anything they got, I would soon be playing with. Well, the reason I say that is because that when I was a kid, that Christmas and birthdays are pretty much what I couldn't wait. And you know what? I know with my kids, okay, you may be silent about it, but I watched you grow up, and I remember especially Abigail measuring out, okay, first it is Robert's birthday, and then it is Mommy's, and then it is, and you'd go all through it, and then it's mine. Oh, yes, you did. Okay, and that's how we do our calendars, okay? When we can't wait for that next thing. It's very hard to wait for it. Do you know today is Pentecost? Pentecost Sunday. Now, I know that you may remember or not remember some of the times we've talked about, but Pentecost was a great festival in Israel. It's when all of Israel, some that were out in Babylon, some that were in Egypt, some that were north in Turkey, they would all come back to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple at Pentecost. And they did it in the days of Jesus. It's a festival. But do you know that the church, or reaching out to the Gentiles, which we are, began that first Pentecost after Jesus was raised from the dead. And one of the things that happened was that all of a sudden, tongues of fire came and dropped on the heads of his disciples. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started preaching about Jesus in other languages. It would be like me preaching Spanish right now. They know I don't know a word of it. And if I started preaching in Spanish right now, they would know it was God. Or if I started preaching in Greek, or French, or Chinese. And there were people that were from that place that I know Chinese, and I know he doesn't know Chinese, and he shouldn't be preaching about Jesus in Chinese. There was this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And after that, the church went everywhere, out into the world. And guess what? They also talked about Jesus. So why did I talk about Pentecost and Christmas and birthdays? Because Pentecost, for the church, really is the beginning of the end. It's the promise from the resurrected Jesus. I'm coming back soon. This is the work you do until I do. But I'm coming back soon. Here's the Holy Spirit. So we're on this end, knowing this great and wonderful thing is coming. Where Jesus himself, the one in whom the Apostle John leaned on, the one who loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, This great, wonderful Redeemer who loves you so much. He's coming back. He's promised us through his resurrection and then with the power at Pentecost. Today, we remember the beginning of the end and we wonder, how close are we to it? Can you guys remember that? Let's pray. Lord, your word is alive and living, and it is so wonderful. And Lord, as we celebrate remembering this festival of Israel and remembering this great outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, I ask that we would be children of hope, not cynics. Children of hope, doing your mission because we have your Spirit. Bless these kids in their worship. Lord, let their worship be as alive as ours. Let your angels sing with them. Lord, let your Holy Spirit empower their lesson. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, guys, you can go back. What's that? Oh, Ron. Ron wants to sing happy birthday to the church. So, listen, just to appease him, ready? Happy birthday. Oh, he's going to sing. Hold on, hold on. I'm totally out of... Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear church. Happy birthday to you. Now, Ron, sit down before you find out what my karate's all about. If you would open up your Bibles to Joel chapter 2, we didn't finish chapter 2. I actually left chapter 2 unfinished because of today. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. We've gone through the fact that Joel prophesied about the coming locusts and the coming Assyrian army. And he also prophesied about the fact that he would still the judgment and make it not as long because of their repentance. But now we come to this, and it says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." And thus the reading of God's word, may we be conformed to its very likeness. Would you pray with me? Lord, open these words to us. We would see you, Christ, and we would hope for tomorrow, and we would be empowered to today. And it's in your name, Christ, I pray. Amen. So is it not true that children measure the calendar by Christmas and birthday? Easter's not really in there because that's just chocolate, you know. Christmas and birthdays are usually, I mean, that's how I did it. I know that's how I did it. I measured the calendar. I wanted to get older. I wanted more presents. And the funny thing is that the children are very impatient about it. You know, I know I'm not going to single out children in my household, but at times it would be, say, May, and the birthday isn't for 5 to 6 months, and they're sitting there pondering about it for a long time. Well, we can giggle about children, but think about our own impatience. We're very impatient. Think about this. How many people are going to lunch after church? Don't raise your hand. We want to, you know, why is it? I'm the same way. I don't want to spend a lot of time preparing meals or do it the night before. I just want my food when I want my food. I want my information when I want my information. I don't want to wait. The most frustrated people in 2018 are people that lose cell service. You can see it. They can't get their information when they want their information. Today is Pentecost. It really is the beginning of the end. It really is. The beginning of God outreaching to the Gentiles. When the Gentiles and the Jews would come together as the people of God, and then Jesus would come back. It is the beginning of the end. And yet, so many of us live like the world, which doubts because 2,000 years has gone by that Jesus physically is not coming out of that sky to look at you in your eyes. What does the scripture say that they cry out? They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue." This was written 2,000 years ago that they will say, "Where is this coming? Because since our fathers fell asleep, nothing seems to change." And we live our life like, here, Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago, but I got to pay my tax bill. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. We lose so quickly what's right before us. And Jesus even told us about this time frame. He was very clear, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, but let's remember the parable of the minas, where he says this. Now, whenever you're reading a parable, there's several points to a parable. There could be a one-point parable, a two-point parable, or a three-point parable. I'm not going to go into all that. These are like these sub-points that are infused as extra information into the parable, and you're wondering, why is it there? And he says this. A nobleman went away to receive to himself a kingdom, and then he would return. A nobleman was going away to receive a kingdom and then return. All right, so that one sentence. A nobleman was going to leave his people and go somewhere else to receive a throne before he came back. And the parallel passage from the parable of the talent says this. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. And in the previous town, this nobleman goes to receive a kingdom for himself. And it says this. Outside of his servants, he says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We do not want this man to reign over us." If you read the parable and go home and read it on your, read the parable of the minas and the parable of the talents together, and this is what you find. You find that Christ was very clearly saying he was going away. And he was going away to receive the kingdom. And not only was he going away to receive a kingdom, but he was going away for a long time. But he says he will come back and he will come to his servants and he will see what they were doing, with their talents, which is about a year's wages of money, or the minas, which is about 3 months of money. That's what the parable says. And so Pentecost, Jesus ascends, he receives his throne, and the church receives the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost. It's the beginning of the end. But we also have been given these talents if we are that part of that parable, that Jesus was going to receive a kingdom for himself and to be away for a while. Who received the talents? And what were the talents that we received? Who was given this gift? When did this gift come? When did these talents come? When did this great promise of God come to us? And I would put before you that the parable of the talents and the minas, that gifting that the king gives, was at Pentecost. And the same gift that was given to them is the same gift that you possess now. And I'll unpack that in a little bit. And why is this so important? Because I just read to you from Joel. And after Jesus preached his sermons, and after he was killed and raised from the dead, and the church was hiding in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the first one to preach and to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ was Peter. And what's the first passage that Peter used in describing what was happening before Israel? Joel. Joel. A book of judgment. And yet it has this hope of the future. The book reminds us of what we are to be doing. It should give us hope for tomorrow. I went to see my mom yesterday as we were up in Orlando. And I wasn't going to mention this, but I think everyone can recognize my mom. She has macular degeneration and her hearing's going, and my sister works far away, so during the weekends, my sister can take her places, but during the week, my mom doesn't get to do too much. And so my mom said something to me, and she said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm bored. I'm like anxious. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I said to her later, I told my sister, we could probably arrange, let's see if there's some sort of small group at your church, or, you know, you need to be doing something that is your purpose, your identity. Because it's not about your physical health. You will go into depression if you don't have a purpose. And it doesn't matter, you know, everybody has to have it. So, if you're 80 years old and you're saying, well, I can't do all the things that I can do, I get that. You know, but there are things that will give you meaning that you can do. And you got to think about them. Now, why do I say all that? Because life is terrible if we live without purpose. And yet so many people don't understand their origin, don't understand the meaning of their life or their destiny. They live as if none of those three matter, and yet those are the three things that matter. We live each day as if today wasn't a purposeful, meaningful day for the kingdom of God. We live as if, I don't know what I'm going to do today. And you're wondering why life is confusing and sad. We don't need that. We need to remember that at Pentecost, there was this outpouring. And it wasn't just for them, it was for us. And it doesn't just give power, it gives meaning to our existence. And it tells us our destiny at this Pentecost. So the first point, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I said last week, prophecy is difficult to understand. We talked about double imagery, that sometimes, you know, a prophet is speaking about somebody and then it changes to something that is much more than that somebody. For example, the Prince of Tyre in Ezekiel. But sometimes prophecy, and actually most of the time prophecy, is progressive in nature. Like, for example, Joel is talking about real locusts and also the future concept of judgment. He's talking about a future Assyria that was a real Assyria, but also, for example, today, he is not talking about the locust or Assyria. He's talking about the end of ages. So it's progressive. And so it can be difficult if you're not in the Word trying to study and see other examples. But you know what passage is not difficult? Is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And you know why? Because Peter preached it and Peter told us exactly what it meant. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit. After what? After the judgment of God. You say, there was no judgment of God. Who hung on the cross? The judgment of God poured on a man. The full judgment for the saints was laid upon him. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Oftentimes, people want to look at this pouring out of the Spirit as the mere gifts of ministry. I'm not going to, I know we have all different opinions here. You know, the gifting of tongues, does it exist? Does it not exist? The gifting of healings, the ongoing revelations. And really, ultimately, that's not relevant to this. Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has far less to do with the means of the gifts in which God brings forth his witness. It's the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power to witness to a non-believer and have them, their hearts struck to the core because of the Holy Spirit that's within inside of you. And yes, in the first century, there were those, while the Bible's being written, they're speaking in tongues, they're raising the dead, they're prophesying, they're healing. There's all kinds of things happening. And yes, throughout the world today, there are revivals breaking out. There's all kinds of power all throughout the world. I'm not going to dismiss any of that. But what I am going to say is those are tools and they're not the purpose. And we are always looking for the sparkly lights. I just need sparkly lights, Jesus, so I'll follow you. No. That outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay, is that gifting of the Holy Spirit that allows you to tell a non-believer that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit testified to your words that it's true. Jim Boyce, who's one of my favorite, most favorite pastors, even better than me, can you believe it? Why are you laughing? Jim Boyce said this: in each of the 9 cases in which it is said that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the consequences of that filling was a witness to Jesus Christ. So regardless of all the peripheral stuff that the church wants to argue about one way or the other, we could settle the argument if we would all witness about Jesus Christ. You've been given the power by God himself. You doubt the evidence of this outpouring, that it is only the early disciples that were giving this great gift? Look at the history of the church. The church should not exist under the persecution that it has been under. where you have a Roman emperor on his deathbed crying out, Galilean, you have the victory. He had the entire might of the empire, and he could not stop the gospel itself because people kept witnessing. I heard in an interview that one of the difficult things about church history is during the Dark Ages that we don't know the names of missionaries during the Dark Ages. And the explanation was this, was because during that time frame, the entire church functioned as missionaries. That everybody was a missionary. Maybe you thought that there was a difference between what I do and what you do. We've been trying to explain since the Reformation and before, the priesthood of all believers, and that you are a minister of Jesus Christ. A pastor's job is to equip the saints. But how often has the congregations of different churches thought that the pastor's job was to be the great witness, witnessing to all about Jesus? And that, hey, if we need somebody to talk to about Jesus, you know what? Let's just take the pastor over there. That's what so many people, the separation of the minister from the people. As if I should be up there. And not just sitting here. But what does it say that a pastor does? It says he equips the saints for ministry. And what ministry is it? Tell me. Somebody tell me what we've been given. What are the minors? What are the talents? The Holy Spirit's deposited within you and given you the power of all of heaven itself. We're to witness. We're to tell people about Jesus. As hard as it is sometimes. And that when it is hard, it's funny, is you see these people with these this Holy Spirit strength doing crazy things. Whether true or untrue, on TV, it doesn't matter. Why aren't we as bold? Why aren't I as bold? I mean, do I have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? Do I have the Holy Spirit inside of me? Do I really? I mean, it says on one hand, because I say Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, I have to. But yet, I have all the power of the universe. This little light of mine, I'm going to snuff it out, not let anyone see it. Or I'm going to say, Pastor, I've got a light, but your light's bigger. You go use it. Right? That's the point of Joel. We've all been given this. And you have to have hope as you go forward in this day that you yourself have the same Spirit through your faith in Jesus Christ that was granted them. Yeah, you might not have like the ability to speak in a foreign language. And yeah, you may never raise the dead. Okay, big deal. You can witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and raise from somebody from spiritual death, which is far worse than any physical death. And that's the point. Second, and I will show wonders on the earth. I will show wonders on the earth. When I was a child, I played Little League most of my childhood. And there was one time where I was a little guy. I must have been I don't know what the little league guys were, T-ball or, it wasn't T-ball, but it was the next thing up. And both my parents were working, and my siblings didn't drive then, and my mom was going to pick me up because she had the approximation of the game, and a storm rolled in suddenly. One of these like really fast storms. I mean, it wasn't gray clouds that merged in. It was suddenly, it was like bright sky and then a black cloud instantly. And a lightning storm that was extremely dangerous started happening. It was all around the ball field. And so I'm not going to fault the coaches, but it was kind of like a hand grenade was thrown into a room. Everyone just scattered. And they scattered to their cars, and parents picked everyone up. But guess who was alone? I was alone. In one of the most terrible lightning storms that you could ever imagine. I have never seen one since. And I've seen a lot of stuff. So what did I do? Well, I ran for the culvert. You know, they had these... Back then, you could play in culverts. They would cut them and put them on playgrounds, and people used them as tunnels. So I ran to one, and I just sat there. And I sat there for 20 minutes, and I watched the most amazing lightning storm that I ever saw. And you know what I didn't think back then when I was watching the lightning storm? I didn't think, isn't it great that lightning is activating the nitrogen agents in the soil to cause the ammonia that the plants need? Or... whatever it was, activate the ammonia to cause the nitrogen, whatever the process is. I was not thinking, that's so great that lightning is making plants grow. The other thing I wasn't thinking is, oh, look at the electrical charge. I wonder, is an electron a negative or a positive charge that's flowing down? And why does it have to go to the ground? I wasn't thinking all that. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking, there's a God. That's what I was thinking about. And I think the thing that I struggle with most in my life is the loss of that faith of a child. My wife and I are in Orlando for our celebration. It makes you think about theme parks. So if you tell your children that you're going to go to a theme park, my goodness, it's like chaos. Oh, we're going to a theme park. It is the most exciting thing in the world. They're not thinking, hey, Dad and Mom are dropping $500 to get it done. They're not thinking about that. All they're thinking about is the joy of experience, the experiences that they haven't had. I'm going to go up, I'm going to go down, and then I'm going to spin around. That's what they're thinking. But so they're all excited. The word theme park is nothing but joy to children. But the word theme park is not joy to parents. Why? Because, yes, we're dropping some money down, number one, but number two, we've already had the experiences. We don't remember that. That even as adults, if you've never been to one of these super amusement parks and you're going to go to one, you're kind of excited about it. And you're not thinking about the money as much as, hey, I'm going to see something I never saw before. We need that about the wonders around us. Do you know that the language that you're hearing in Joel is apocalyptic language? You hear this in chapter 2, describing the locusts or the Assyrians. This is the language you hear from Joel. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness. There is spread upon the mountains. And then later it says, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdrew their shining. Okay, did the stars withdraw their shining when the Assyrians came in? I don't know. It wasn't recorded by the historians. On the day that Jesus was crucified, it said that a darkness came over the whole land, and there was no sunlight. And an earthquake had hit, and it was so bad that a centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. Whatever these wonders were, they were wonders to those that had faith, and they were just naturally explained away by those without faith. And as those wonders happen in our world, the closer we get, we should see the same thing. The people of faith will see more clearly God's coming, and the people of the world will find more reasons to deny God. You have a volcano going on in Hawaii. Is that simply two plates coming together, pushing up lava or whatever, however it happens? I don't know. We all did those science experiments when we were kids. You know, I just remember the Brady Bunch episode. That was with the volcano there. I'm dating myself, but oh, that was a good episode. But we all understand the natural process. Or is this volcano simply saying, God saying, I exist? Is an asteroid coming from heaven simply just some debris? Or is it God reminding us, as his scripture said he would, I will remind you of my existence until that day of judgment? And as it gets closer to time, will it get worse? Well, sure. For the world it will, for us it won't. So what are the wonders that we're to be noticing? Well, I mentioned negative numbers, the negative wonders, natural disasters, war, and all of that. And you know what's funny is when you talk to Christians and you talk about God's return, we always go to the negative. Yes, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's sickness, there's plague, the pale horse is riding, there's Ebola, and all these different things. We just go negative, negative, negative. And where we don't go is we don't see the signs of the Lord in the positive things. Like, for example, that in 1979, there were only 50 Christians recorded in Iran, and today there's 360,000. And they are struggling for their existence, but the Spirit is pushing them through. And that there is, they're not calling it a revival, but there are thousands of Christians that are growing in both the UAE and in Saudi Arabia. Wow, what's happening in the Middle East? I thought we were going to be conquered by Islam. And yet, the people of Christ, the people of peace, continue to march forward. You may hear in the coming months of greater persecution happening in China. And it's true. There's greater persecution against the church in China. But do you know why? Because they're starting to get worried about the greater impact on the Chinese that the gospel's having with the underground church. God's moving! And yes, we struggle in the United States to see it. We have all the universities. We have all the education. We have all these different things. And do you know why we struggle to see it? Because we are denying its power. The people that are overseas, that are struggling, that are persecuted, that are reliant on God alone, they're pushing forward. And they're seeing great wonders and great works. There's great things happening today. The day of Pentecost is still upon us. It was before in the United States with great revivals sweeping through the lands. There were great revivals in England and in Wales. There were great revivals in Germany. There could be great revivals again. But there are wonders all around us. And what do these wonders tell us? The gospel keeps going forth. There's still power in the world. And what should we look at them as? God hasn't forgotten his promise. God has not forgotten his promise, and Jesus will be back real soon. Very soon. And we don't have enough time to be worried about our own identity when we're pushing forth his identity. Lastly, and quickly, the passage says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel is talking about the great final judgment, where Revelation says, let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. For those of you that are saved, I would have you think just a few things. What is your origin? Is it a hospital, a doctor, or is it God? Define it for yourself. What is your origin? Is it God? What is your purpose? Is it work? Is it family? What is the purpose that will make you happy? Or is that pouring of Jesus Christ? And finally, the thing that takes away anxiety and depression, outside of a chemical issue, the thing that will most take away anxiety and depression is the answer to this question. What is your destiny? Is it with Christ? Then let's work towards that end. If somebody is not saved, is not called Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, I only point out one thing. The book of Joel is a book telling them of real judgment and prophesying of a judgment yet to come. And God has a right to judge man because of our wickedness. But as I said before, Pentecost is that first outpouring of the Spirit after the greatest judgment that God ever did, which is to judge His Son, Jesus Christ, for the sins of those that would believe. Don't wait for any other judgment. Call upon this Lord now and let Him be the judgment of the Lord. Let Him love you. This is the gospel, the free gift. Happy Pentecost. Happy outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Happy promise that the gospel will not be silenced. Happy promise that the church will grow. Happy promise that you are God's minister. Don't look for someone else. There's nobody else in this room that is the minister of Jesus Christ. You are the minister of Jesus Christ. And I bring this message to you in the King who ordained you. Let us pray. Father, even as this Pentecost, we celebrate that great outpouring that you didn't just give them, but you gave to all those who call you Lord. Lord, let us take that power. Lord, grow it into our hearts. Let us trust that more than ourselves. Let us move forward with our families and our friends and in our community. Let us see your kingdom advance against these gates that are always seem to be so tricky for us. And let us have hope, Lord, that what you promised by giving us your Spirit, you will fulfill by coming back. You gave us talents, you gave us the minas, and you will be coming back, Lord. Let us go forth with those gifts now. And it's in your name, Christ, I pray. Amen. Please stand.